This is the Gadget Flow Podcast, the show about everything related to products, entrepreneurship, marketing, and crowdfunding. This week, I got to chat with Samir Elkamouni, and Samir co-founded a company called Fetch and Funnel. And basically, they help startups and brands have effective marketing across all their social media and marketing campaigns. And we had a great conversation full of valuable tips and tricks, and also what Samir sees on the horizon for marketing on social platforms in general. You don't want to miss this one, so please, without further ado, here is my interview with Samir Elkamouni. All right. Well, I am here with Samir Elkamouni. Samir, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. We're excited to have you on the show. And, you know, we just got to know each other, but you've had a relationship working with Gadget Flow, you said, for close to a year now, yeah?
Yep. Love Gadget Flow.
That's awesome, man. So for people who may or may not know who you are, can you just give like a little bit of a snapshot into your world and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm one of the founders of Fetch and Funnel. So we're primarily a Facebook agency shop. So we're one of the top Facebook agencies in the country. We really specialize in customer acquisition, Facebook and Instagram ads. One of the newest things that we're really focusing on as well is Messenger bots. Maybe we'll get a little bit into that today. And yeah, what really separates us though from other agencies, the quality of the Facebook and Instagram work that we do and the Messenger bots and a few other cool things that like crowdfunding maybe we'll get into today.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a list of questions for you, but maybe before we jump into those, we can back up a little bit. And I just want to, you know, get caught up a little bit on maybe how Fetch and Funnel came to be. Like, give us the backstory on how you came to co-found Fetch and Funnel.
Sure, yeah. So I guess it started several years ago. My partner and I worked together at one of the leading companies, WordStream. I'm sure you've heard of them. And we worked over there and gave us a really awesome opportunity to work with just hundreds of agencies, thousands of businesses, literally helping them grow and scale their Google and Facebook ads. And we really saw that there was a need for boutique agencies in the world where highly focused on customer acquisition, really specialized in running high quality ads and really frankly having transparency with their clients as well. And so, yeah, my partner and I went our separate ways for a while. And then after a period of time, we had been talking about it for a long time. We said we should really form Fetch and Funnel. And yeah, I guess the rest has been history.
That's cool, man. That's cool. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm picturing whenever I'm doing interviews on the show, I'm picturing someone who's interested in maybe launching a product or they have a product and they're just not sure how to market it well using those tools. So maybe if you could, like, what are some best practices, tricks and tips to marketing products in a really, really, you know, effective way? Maybe the top one that comes to mind when you think of that question.
Sure. So I'd say in this day and age, Facebook and Instagram are king. So it was used to be Google, but last 5-6 years, it's made a serious switch. So really, Facebook and Instagram ads, I'd say, is one of the biggest things. And I think one of the other interesting things that's come about in the last 2 years is also using influencers as well. So utilizing Instagram, YouTube, sometimes even Snapchat, and you can find some of those micro influencers where they don't have a big following, so they don't really know what they're worth, and you can partner up with these influencers and pay really, really low amounts of kind of a partnership fee and paying them to just tout your product or mention it or, you know, even review it, whatever you want to do. You can sometimes send them the product for free in exchange for a review. And if you get those initial purchases from that blip, then really after that, you have a Facebook pixel on your website. Now Facebook's tracked some purchases and you get to start using Facebook's algorithms to really push, you know, your Facebook and Instagram ads, you run retargeting, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. So in that, like, I kind of think that can get complex pretty quick for maybe someone who doesn't know much about social media or Facebook or Instagram ads. Like, more, that's more stuff on the back end of it, you know, like maybe the thing that the common person doesn't recognize or see. So in that, what is the difference between maybe the difference and the benefits from trying to do it yourself versus using an agency like what you guys are doing? Like, what are the benefits to using an agency over trying to figure it out on your own?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing is you're working with an expert, right? So you're working with someone who knows how to do that stuff. You don't have to figure it out. If you work with the right agency, they're like us, we're super transparent. We're helping people. We're explaining what we're doing to them, right? So they know what retargeting is and how that works. They know what dynamic product ads are. When we set them up, we explain that to them. So they get it. They know what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think that's the most important thing, right? You're learning along the way. You're understanding why are they split testing ads? Why are they split testing ad creatives and copy? And why are they wording it in this way? And they're splitting out different audiences and demographics and things like that. And why they're doing that. And so I think that's a big part of it. And then the other thing is really, you know, when you work with an expert and you work with an agency, you know, the right agency, then, you know, they can really, you'll end up spending less money, because if you don't know what you're doing, you can waste and spend a lot of money. And right. I think that's an important thing. And, you know, there's a value in that as well. You learn a lot, right? When you spend your own money, you're very careful, but you can also, it's super easy to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on any platform or anywhere, any ads, not get any sales or results. And if you work with the right agency, you can mitigate a big portion of that, where, yeah, your money is being well spent. It's being well tested on proven copy, proven creative, things like that. And, you know, frankly, if the creative doesn't work, you could, you know, we'll immediately say that, like, hey, these graphics won't work, or this is not going to convert, or we're not going to get high click-through rates on this stuff. So we need to go back and fix it, or help you do it, or we'll do it for you. And those are, yeah. So I'd say those are the two biggest things. You can literally learn a lot, as well as save money in the long run and make a lot more money.
Right. And something that I like that I keep hearing you say and kind of bringing up is this idea of transparency. I think that's interesting, because I do find, you know, maybe people who don't know much about the social media marketing and Facebook ads and things like that, like, I do get the sense that it can become easy to almost like feel tricked, or to feel like you don't know what you're spending your money on. So how important is it when you guys are running a business that's based on, you know, you're taking resource from a company and hopefully, you know, bringing them more resource in return? How big is transparency to you in building your clientele and building your relationships with your clients?
It's huge. It's everything, right? I think if anybody's investigating an agency or looking at working with a partner in general, you have to listen to your gut, right? If it's too good to be true, it probably is. If they're guaranteeing something, then there's no guarantees in this business. So that's a red flag. Another thing is, you know, you're paying the agency to do the work for you. You want to own that work. So a lot of agencies will, you know, they'll build it in their own account and they won't grant you access to it. And you've paid them to do this work, and you're not, if you want to part ways, that's their sticky factor. That's the way they retain clients. And so you want to make sure that it's your account that they're working in. So if you want to part ways with them, you can just immediately kick them out of the account and part ways, and you own all that work. Right. And that goes along with transparency, right? You know what they're doing. You can see the changes, you can track the changes, and you own all that work. And I think another part of that as well is contracts, right? A lot of some agencies will put you into lengthy, expensive contracts, and that's another retention way of getting their clients to stick with them. So I'm not saying that contracts are bad. Sometimes we're required to do short contracts with clients because it's a build out or something like that. But typically we don't do contracts. We believe the proof is in the pudding. And so I think that's another important part of transparency, right? You want to retain all the work. You want to know what the heck is going on. I think those are some of the critical components. And yeah, and you want your clients to be in the loop, right? And as a client, if I was working with an agency, I'd want to be in the loop. I'd want to know exactly what's going on and not scratching my head and saying, I don't really know what they do, but I think I'm getting sales from them.
Right. Totally, man. Totally. So pivoting a little bit, what are some of the biggest challenges you face in running your business?
That's a great question. I'd say one of the things is finding really good talent. That's one of our biggest hurdles. So, I mean, a great example is we're doing messenger bots a lot, and messenger bots is so new, using chat bots on Facebook Messenger. And so when you're looking to hire someone to assist you with that or getting more, you know, just talent on our team, for that, I pretty much have to train everyone because nobody knows that stuff. But if I want to find a Facebook expert, it takes me months to find and hire a new Facebook expert to add to our team. When I need another Google expert, I can do that next week. There's mm-hmm. tons of them. And so, yeah, it's interesting when you find someone online and they say they're a growth hacker and they're a Facebook expert, and you get them on the phone and they don't know what a Facebook pixel is or don't know how to do advanced audience segmentation or things like that.
Right.
That's one of our, I'd say that's one of our biggest hurdles. As we're growing really, really quickly. And so,
that makes a ton of sense, man. That makes a ton of sense. So, how about when it comes to social marketing, I know that we've talked a lot about Facebook. Actually, speaking of, I want to ask you, what exactly is a messenger bot? Can you break that down for me as maybe a novice? Because I don't know what that is, and it sounds interesting. So maybe exactly what it is and what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to see them more and more. And you may have already seen them and just not realized, but you're literally going to see them everywhere. So it's Facebook Messenger, right? Everybody knows Facebook Messenger. Everybody's got Facebook Messenger on their phone. They use it to talk with their friends and family and all that kind of stuff. But now businesses are able to utilize Facebook Messenger as a marketing channel. Mm. And the way you do that is you use a chatbot. So similarly, if most people are familiar with email marketing and you use some sort of email platform like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or GetResponse or something like that, right? And so it's the same thing. You use a chatbot provider that connects directly with your Facebook page and Messenger, and you're able to acquire subscribers, and it becomes a subscriber marketing channel for your business. You're able to send broadcasts out. You're able to ask people questions, and you're able to engage with people in a completely new way that email just doesn't provide. And frankly, there's no other channel right now that has that. It's super interesting, and because it's so new, I mean, the results that we're getting from it is incredible. I mean, if you think about traditional email, you're lucky if you get a 20% open rate, right? Mm-hmm. Where on Messenger, we're getting above 80 or even 90% open rates and 20-30% click-through rates. And What's really interesting is you can ask someone some questions, and people love it. And you can do quizzes. You can do all sorts of really cool things. We have a candy client we're working on, just like a quick couple question quiz where we're going to come up with their candy monster, and people can figure out what candy monster they are. And then we can follow up with them with really quirky sequences about, how they're that, what candy animal they are.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's cool.
And, but, But it goes way more advanced than that. In the B2B space, we can qualify leads. We can ask them a couple qualifying questions, and it's totally different than a traditional form. It's totally different than kind of any traditional survey or anything like that. It's so easy because you just click a couple buttons. Somebody asks you a question, you click on one of the auto responses, and then it's a flowing conversation. You feel like you're having a chat. You feel like you're having a conversation, but mm-hmm. it's just fluid. And yeah, where it's really, really interesting. And it's extremely quick growing channel. I mean, I feel that Messenger will be one of the biggest marketing channels there is in the next 3 to 5 years.
That was going to be my next question is, you know, where do you see Facebook ads in general moving in the next, 3 to 5 year period? So you think the Messenger bots are going to be huge?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's only recent that you could even have Messenger as a placement. So I don't know if people have realized, but inside Facebook Messenger now, if you scroll just past the first couple of chats, you'll see an ad. And so that's new. But the other bigger thing is having Messenger as a destination. So we'll run ads that it's a traditional Facebook ad or Instagram ad, but when somebody clicks on it, it brings them straight into Messenger. And so that's how you can acquire a subscriber very, very easily. Literally, all they need to do is engage with that chatbot. And the second they engage with it, they're then a subscriber. And they can unsubscribe just as easily. It's like text messaging, SMS marketing that's been around for a while, right? It's you can get those blasts, but it's definitely, I mean, Facebook's really investing tons and tons of money in Messenger. It's going to be the future. I mean, you live in New York and you may not have realized already, but in New York you can hail a cab, an Uber, order food, get dry cleaning. You can do all sorts of things straight within Messenger. You don't even mm-hmm. need to leave Messenger, and you can get a bunch of things accomplished. And that's really where it's going. You're going to start to see influencers and bloggers have the majority of their list on Messenger and be able to engage with their audience on Messenger and do live video on Messenger. And you're going to start to see businesses accept purchases and transactions in Messenger. And you're going to see a lot of things change in that space in the next couple of years. And it's already happening, but you're going to see it change very, very quickly.
That is so interesting, man. I have not heard of that at all, but even just your explanation of it, just, I can already see the potential there. So moving maybe away from Facebook even for a second, because I know that's kind of where we've been, but like, is there still strengths in using other platforms, like say a Pinterest or Twitter or even Google Ads? You know, like what are the strengths in those platforms, if any, anymore? Like, what do you think about using those platforms as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every platform has its pros and cons, even Facebook and Instagram. So, and I think most channels are, it's really specific for your business. So if you're very B2B focused, if you're very account-based marketing focused, if you're really looking to work with enterprise clients, then LinkedIn is one of the best platforms that you can be on, because you can target company sizes, specific titles, etc. If you're a really unique product and people are, you know, might know about it but aren't really sure about it, and they're searching something kind of a broad term for it, Pinterest can be a really great place for product discovery. Of course, Google is always the elephant in the room. Google's kind of that necessary evil that you have to work with if you want to get lots of results. And you could get really great results on display and Google Shopping and things like that. And of course, you've got to be on Google Search for your own brand and things like that. I think for a lot of up and coming brands and really cool and interesting products, especially awesome gadgets that you guys feature, people don't know that stuff exists. They're not actively searching for a completely automated sprinkler system.
Right.
But then when they see it, it's like, wow, this is really cool. I could use this product. So Google and some of the more traditional avenues don't really work. And you have to use Pinterest and you have to use Facebook. You know, and again, kind of in the B2B world, you can get interesting with LinkedIn and Twitter and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's really specific for the business. But, you know, if you put that kind of growth mindset on and growth marketing mindset, it's really, you've got to test as many things as you can that make sense for your business. And then that's really where you figure out what works and what doesn't work. And then where you can scale, where you can put more budget behind, because you really don't know until you try it.
Right. Do you guys provide services for all the platforms, or is your focus primarily like Facebook and Google?
Yeah, we do all the platforms. So, I mean, okay. We started in Google. We've been in Google forever. And, you know, we also started with Facebook and Instagram. I'd say that, yeah, I mean, in this day and age, Facebook is definitely greater than Google. It doesn't matter if it's B2B and B2C. Facebook really crushes it. We get better results on Facebook over Google all day long. But for all the other channels, yeah, we do them all. Like I said, it really is dependent on the business. I mean, some of the, you know, for a couple of our clients who are really focused on millennials and even app installs and things like that, we get amazing results from Snapchat because the cost per impression, the CPM, cost per thousand impressions, is literally one of the lowest that we can get. But again, it's very specific, right? We have some enterprise B2B clients. We're not putting them on Snapchat.
Right. Cool, man. So second to last question, what are you most excited about in what you do moving forward? Like, what gets you pumped every morning before you head to the office for work?
I'd say that the biggest thing is we're really pushing the envelope of what's next. So I'm not looking at what was the coolest stuff that worked in 2017. I'm looking at like what's going to work in 2019, because I mean, we see it every day. We see what just happened with Facebook, right? And all the different things that are going on in the industry. What's next? What's the next platform? What's the next outlet? What are the next marketing channels that are going to really crush it? And I think that's what gets me really pumped up and excited. And that's why I get so excited about chatbots, because it's so new and nobody's doing it. It's such an uncharted territory that, you know, it's crazy interesting. I think those are the things that get me pumped up. I mean, we have a crowdfunding client that we're working on right now, and we sent an email blast out last night to we're running a pre-campaign for them, right? And so we sent an email blast out for them. They got, you know, 20% open rate, 2% click-through rate. It's good. Not amazing, but it's good. We got an 85% open rate and a 10%, or I think it was 15% click-through rate, like within minutes. Like it was instant. And I was pumped about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like we were all watching it as a team and going, whoa, every time you refresh, you're seeing, you know, another 100,000 people, 100 or 1,000, not 100,000, but hundreds of people, you know, opening that messenger blast immediately. And that's so interesting because it just changes the game, right? If you're launching a Kickstarter campaign tomorrow and you blast your entire 20,000 subscriber list, if you shoot them an email, it could take them 48 hours to get to that email. You shoot them a message on Messenger and ding, they get that notification they care about and they open it. I mean, that's so interesting and exciting. Yeah. That's what gets me really motivated, is what's coming up next. What's new in the market? I think that's the stuff that really, really gets us excited.
Definitely, man. So where can people connect with you online, and where's the best place to connect with you and what you guys are working on?
So, I mean, our website's just fetchfunnel.com. And yeah, I mean, people can connect with me on Facebook always. So Samir Al-Kamouni, I'm the only one, so shouldn't be too hard to find me. You can always send me a Facebook message. My email, more traditional, even though nobody likes email anymore, is just Samir@fetchfunnel.com. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You can, like I said, you just add me on Facebook and shoot me a Facebook message and you get a lot faster response than you will via email.
I know, you might get a bot.
Very true. Very true.
I know. That's interesting.
Questions and answers and, yeah, but maybe really quick, maybe I can ask you one quick question.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I'm a big Gadgetflow guy. I mean, we love Gadgetflow both from a customer perspective as well as a partner. I'm curious, where are you guys headed and what's next and what are you excited about in 2018?
Man, well, I'm definitely not, you know, we have Evan and Cassie and Mike who are steering the ship on top. So they're probably a better person to ask for the organization as a whole. But for me, I do the podcast is something I'm excited about, and video. We are going to be doing a lot more video, and we're really wanting to expand that side of what we do. And I know I'm fairly new to the team, but I do know there's been a lot of work on the inside to create a really good team atmosphere. I think there's like, you know, maybe 20-ish people working for the Gadgetflow now, all working remote, which is, I'm sure, just a huge challenge to manage all the time, but they do such an amazing job. So yeah, I mean, for me as a part of the team, those are the things I'm looking forward to, is just pushing the limits of what we can do with video and audio. And yeah, man, I mean, I have my own projects and stuff like that as well, where this discussion about Facebook and, you know, just products and marketing in general get me really excited for my projects that I'm running myself. But as far as Gadgetflow goes, I think just showing people more cool stuff, I think that's the goal.
Yep. And so, I mean, we all know kind of the metrics that are coming out as far as video dominating everything now. Where do you see video going? I mean, do you have any kind of insights or anything as far as, yeah, not necessarily like best practices, but where you see some of the kind of video engagement or whatever it is happening kind of in the next year or two?
You know, I to be honest, it's like, all I see is the upward trajectory. You know, I just see it moving up and up and up and up. And I know video is, I think the possibilities are pretty much limitless with video. I was just listening to a podcast this morning where, you know, this guy is talking about, he has two kids, one is 5, one is 7. And he recently had a TV show made about him and his family with like huge actors, very famous. Like it's a national televised show. And he said his kids were so not impressed because they're constantly watching video from anyone and everyone in the world. It became like, well, they don't even care that it's on TV versus the computer versus the iPad. It's like all the same to them, which is exciting to me because it levels a playing field. It's like, basically then it turns into the best content wins. If you make the best stuff, more people will watch it. And so, yeah, I mean, as far as like what I see on platforms and stuff like that, it's a little bit hard to tell other than it's just going to grow. And I think we're just going to see more and more brands and companies transitioning over to using video and honestly audio. Like I think audio is the sleeper. That's going to be the thing that changes the game in a lot of ways, is when people can really harness the power of audio. Because what can you do to engage people when they're not in front of a screen, which is the other massive portion of their life, and that's through your ears. So I do think that there's huge, huge potential in both. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot of innovation in both spaces, in the next year or so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love that. I love what you said, levels the playing field. I mean, I saw the other day that there's this, famous director and he's developed, you know, super famous films and blockbuster films. And he just did, horror film that, you know, is in the movie theaters and everything, and he recorded the entire thing with his phone. And he says the future of video is with phones.
That's crazy.
I think that's exactly what you just said, right? Like, it literally just smartphones, the quality of the content you can produce, you get 4K slow-mo cameras and everything. I mean, it is, right? Anyone can make a video. And like you said, it's just the content is what owns it. The story that you tell, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's super, super interesting. People, like, we don't have TVs anymore. We're all watching YouTube and...
Exactly, man.
Totally, totally different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but it's changing even faster now.
Right. Yeah, and the opportunity for anyone and everyone is just endless, which is great. So, yeah. Samir, thank you so much for being on the show, man. This is a great conversation, and I think you really, really gave some cool, insightful information, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to be checking out your guys' stuff. So I'll include links to your guys' work in the show notes and all of that stuff. But for now, man, thank you so much for being on the show, Samir.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
That was my interview with Samir Elkamooney, so please make sure to check out Fetch and Funnel and get in touch with them if you're looking for help in taking your marketing to the next level. Thanks for being on, Samir. This podcast is made by Gadgetflow, and we are proud to be the number one platform to find new and awesome gadgets. So make sure to check out the site for all the new products we're curating every single day. We'll be back next week with another new episode, so please, in the meantime, go rate and review our show on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to the Gadgetflow Podcast.